but now they're back trying to figure out life, and they're a hot mess. The Cadawamplas.
Hey, friends.
Mine just started now.
Oh,
well, that's good.
Hey, friend.
There you go. Anna let this cat out, and he's still meowing.
Bug those cats.
Oh, no. This might have been a bad idea. This might have been a terrible idea. Hi. Periodically, I'm going to stop talking because I'm staring at the cats and see what they're doing. I have a lot of stuff everywhere right now because I'm in the process of moving. And they're just kind of like, I know they're just going to get in things they're not supposed to get into. So you periodically might hear me just like chasing after them with a water bottle, like, get out! So, yeah, pretty much.
That's Tavinia.
That's Maggie.
We're Cadawamplers.
Hello.
Ugh. And today we're getting real with sex education.
Sex ed.
It just occurred to me that, like, should we have come armed with, like, sources and stuff?
Meh. Do we ever?
Well, yeah, but I feel like this is going to be one of those, well, also sometimes I think that maybe I, in my head, we're bigger than I think we are. Like, we have more listeners than I think we do. Mm. Because realistically, so far, no one has gotten fired up about absolutely anything we've talked about.
No.
But, and every time we say this, but this might be the topic that people get fired up about and start demanding sources.
Maybe.
I guess if that happens, I'll go find some after the fact. But
and just like that, I need to stop because he's clawing at the mattress. One second.
Okay.
Yeah. New apology. You will hear them clawing at the door, so because they can't stay out anymore.
Change of plans.
Change of plans. So I apologize now when they make it sound like they are literally prisoners in a beautiful downstairs. So.
Yeah, like they have a whole fucking space. They're fine.
Yep.
I'll do my best to edit out the wailing.
Sorry. Yep.
No promises.
Sorry about that. Yep. Okay.
Oopsies.
Sources. No, I don't think so. We never do it. Good. So, and if they do, hey, maybe it'll boost up listenership. I don't know.
Please.
Like, just please.
Can we just talk about something controversial and have someone get fired up? Fight with me. Argue with me.
In a way, though, it's also kind of, I mean, it'd be cool if we have more listeners, but it's also kind of like refreshing because then I just feel like, you know what, fuck it, let's just say. Sometimes I still kind of hold back, but now I'm just like, let's just say whatever the fuck we want to, because if no one's listening, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's true.
I can do and say what I want to do.
There's no rules.
No rules. Put your shirt on. One rule.
Literally my favorite commercial of all time.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So we are recording this on, what number is 5? May? Yep. May 18th, 2019. And right now, well, I'm sorry. I know I always say we're not going to make this the whole thing.
No, I think that's kind of the whole point of us talking about this today.
Okay. Right now, there are big abortion bans happening around the world. Well, not around the world, around the United States. The biggest one, it was in Alabama that they just... that it states that any abortion is illegal, even those in a result from rape or incest. And then, I think...
Beyond 6 weeks, right? Which most people don't even know they're pregnant until after 6 weeks, so that's like... ridiculous.
I thought it was period, but okay, maybe we do need resources.
all the states are very similar, though. Alabama's got that one. Georgia's got one. Texas is getting ready to try and push one through. That this one like really gets under my skin, that abortion would be punishable by death.
Which is
so okay. This is why we hate Texas.
Yeah.
Except I think parents. Maybe Ohio passed or is trying to pass.
Missouri is about to. Missouri, the governor is planning on signing it into effect sometime next week. And I think it's the 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, you cannot have an abortion. Was it either except? I think except for medical, like medical reasonings, like issues like what could cause death. But I think that it does not include rape or incest. So
it's just so fucking
awesome.
Dramatic.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
I don't even know like where to start from here.
Yeah. And like I have actually like quite a few. So I've known about it. I have this terrible habit of like when I know terrible things are happening in the world, I just don't look into it more because I don't want to. I know the world's terrible out there, but I also know I need to. And so today, this morning, laying in bed, when I first woke up, I was like, let's just go ahead and do it. Like, let's just pull the trigger and like, let's go educate ourselves. And so I got on CNN and was reading like the last few stories over the past, I think maybe like 3 or 4 days or whatever. And I feel like CNN does a really good job of playing like a non-biased role of like, they just give you the facts of what's happening. And so, just reading through it and reading all the different like bans and stuff that's happening, I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. And just some of the things that senators and governors are like quoted saying about all these things and the different viewpoints are taking. And just one, I feel like I'm not in support of any of this. I think one, I'm so fucking tired of men being the voices of whatever happens with our bodies, because what the fuck, you don't have a reproductive system. Well, hold on.
I mean, unfortunately they do.
You do, but you don't have uterus. You're
not the uterus.
I promise I'm somewhat smart,
with the exception of trans men. I mean, we're not trying to exclude that.
No, not at all. It's just that is annoying. And then two, like, if you look at a lot of the reasoning for those that believe that this abortion ban is a great idea, it always comes back to, well, this is God's gift. This is what God wants. This is blah, blah, blah. And so that just kind of takes me back to like when we're talking about the religion episode of letting a religion dictate how things are run is our biggest issue. Because if you listen to the opposing side of like why abortion should be in effect still, it's not religion based at all. It's has many different reasons of like factual things happening. And I think that's always a kind of a cop out of like, well, what about rape? What about incest? Which is true. That's still terrible things. But what about the fact that this is their fucking body? Let them do what they want.
Yeah.
Exactly. And don't get me wrong, I used to be in a place of, I was kind of like wishy-washy. I spent most of my time in my life in Texas, so I blame that state. Of like, oh, you know, abortion's not so great. And my thinking was always, except for rape, that was always my like, I feel like you shouldn't be able to do that unless you've been like, you know, whatever, blah, blah. And it wasn't until I went to a conference that I often like to go to that's held in Oklahoma. It's called Reproductive Justice in Red States, which, God, going to that conference this year would be fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Although it's in February, so it just happened, so I'll have to wait till the next one. But I was sitting around with a bunch of women, like, there was actually some talks about, like, you know, the amazing things about abortion and, like, why this is so great and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, no, what are you women talking about? It's only okay with rape, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I went to the cocktail hour where you, like, get to just talk with people, and which I usually hate going to, but it was free alcohol. And this woman sat down next to me, and we kind of just started a conversation. She was really nice. And, you know, she asked me, like, you know, was there any, like, what did you think of today and blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of telling her, and I told her, you know, because it's supposed to be a safe space, which it really is. That those conferences are amazing. You can speak your mind, and they will always listen, and they will, if they disagree, very politely and educationally, oh, God, I'm so dumb, tell you their opinion and why they think you're wrong sometimes. But,
yeah.
And she, you know, I told her, I was like, I just, the only thing I can't really sit with is, like, how pro-abortion everybody is. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm definitely pro-choice, but I just feel like, you know, sometimes blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, one, I don't think anyone's sitting here saying that everyone is just like, hells yes, let's kill all the children, let's do it, I want it, blah, blah, blah. She said, if anything, we're more so, what I feel like everyone's mostly fighting for is that they just want people to have the right to do what they want with their own body. And for some reason, which I never know why I didn't think about it myself, because maybe because Texas screams at me like, no, you don't get to have rights. But, or just because I'm dumb, I'm not going to play it, I'll put it on something else. I just never had thought about it in that way. And I was like, you are so, it's just, it boils down to that. There shouldn't be no exceptions to, well, if it's this or if it's that, if it's blah, 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 blah. It's, this is that person's body. They get to do what they want. So, because even that whole idea of, you know, no, you have to keep this child. What happens when the child shows up? Number one, let's not even think about the mental trauma that has on you, especially if, one, it's a kid you don't want and you're going to have, or if it was conceived through an extreme trauma. Let's push all of that part aside, okay? The kid gets here. What happens if you can't afford them? And that was why. What happens when you didn't choose this life for this to happen, but now you're forced to do it?
Yeah.
What happens to all those things? And we already are not doing great things for parents who can't afford to feed their children right now. So what happens to all these fucking kids?
Yeah. So kind of looping back around to your first point about, you know, that so many people say, you know, oh, pro-life, but of course I'm going to leave an exception for rape and incest. That's problematic because that basically says that women only have bodily autonomy after you've been like totally violated in like the worst way possible. That's the only time then that you are allowed to make a decision for yourself is after you've been violated by someone. And that's just like not a good mentality. And I was like, so full disclosure, the way that Tavinia was, I grew up in Missouri. I grew up Catholic, as we've discussed. And so of course I've been pro-life my whole life. And even up until like college, like I'm sure that this is one of those topics that I always think about. If I ever am in the public eye for anything, people are going to be able to dig up tweets and posts and stuff that I said on social media about being pro-life, probably. I mean, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I would assume that that's probably going to be some readily available information from my profiles because I was pro-life until like well into college. Yeah, so there's that as well. I'm not just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. And then additionally, people who are pro-choice, we're not necessarily pro-abortion. Like, we're not, it's one of those things where, like, people on the opposing side, like the pro-life people, want to completely polarize us and make it seem like we're such extremists. None of us are saying that every pregnant person needs to go get an abortion. Mm-hmm. Obviously not. We're just giving you the choice that if that's something that you don't want, that you don't have to go through that. And so, and then even maybe up until the last like 6 months or a year, probably closer to 6 months, my opinion was always that I'm pro-choice, but I personally could never get an abortion. And I can't remember if I've talked about it in previous episodes that I don't want kids. And it's not, I think I would probably adopt, but the idea of pregnancy, I think, while I think it is so beautiful in other people and I appreciate it for what it is, and I think it's like the coolest thing ever for other people, freaks me the fuck out about myself. I have absolutely no desire to ever carry a child because it just freaks me out. I don't want to go through that. I already have issues with body positivity and all that kind of stuff. I think it would just crush me and mentally, and I'm just not interested. So from the perspective of someone who doesn't want a child, I maybe wouldn't put that past myself. Like if I fell pregnant right now, I don't know what I would do. Because so the running argument from pro-lifers is always, we'll give them up for adoption. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I still have to go through the pregnancy and I don't want to do that. And there's very few, well, maybe that's uneducated to say that there are few resources for pregnant women, but realistically, I wouldn't qualify for a lot of those things because like I have insurance and I have a job and all that. And so it's like, you know, I don't necessarily need government assistance to make it to ultrasounds and all that kind of stuff if I were to be pregnant. But I don't want to. I don't want to be pregnant. The idea of that, like, honestly makes me want to like have a panic attack. Like it sends me like spiraling because I don't want that. And the fact that I could be forced to go through that anyway. Ugh. And like I can probably hear the people in the background who are like, well, then better birth control. Well, first of all, my birth control is absolutely none of your business. Second of all, do you honestly think that we're all just out here like fucking around and then using abortion as our form of birth control? No one is doing that. Nobody. Well, I mean, I'm not gonna say nobody.
Yeah, cause... and for those who are, that's for them to choose and do. And like just like how it's your choice to not want to have a kid, that's your right to do that. It's also the right then for someone. I'm getting missed about, but like that's, I got so fired up about something that I lost the actual train of thought. That's your right that you don't want to have children. not necessarily through abortion, but that's just okay. I'm losing it. It's fine. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. Pushing it aside. Something I did look up though is because while you were talking, I remember I was reading from the CNN document about one of the I don't know what to call them. This article calls him a state lawmaker. Doesn't that make you like a senator?
Legislator.
Legislator, thank you. Made a comment because they were having like the, you know, people talking for and against this. And of course he is a Republican Missouri state lawmaker. This is what it says.
And middle-aged white guy?
Yep.
I'm going to take a guess here. Oh, ding, ding, ding.
He is quoted saying, let's just say someone goes out and they're raped or they're sexually assaulted one night after a college party because most of my rapes were not the gentleman jumping out of the bushes that nobody had ever met. He goes on to say, that was one or two times out of 100. Most of them were date rapes or consensual rapes, which were all terrible.
And consensual rape doesn't exist.
Once he finished talking, Democratic State Representative Rachel Prouty, she said quickly, there's no such thing as consensual rape.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, like what is that even? And then he goes on to say like, oh, I misspoke and apologize. Like, yeah, you're so right. I'm sorry. That was a misspeak. No.
Get out of here, you old white man. Sit the fuck down.
That is so problematic in that type of speech. And just rape is rape. What?
Yeah. Consensual rape is not a thing. That's not a fucking thing.
A stranger raping you is just as terrible as marital rape. Rape is rape, and if it happens to you, you even if you don't get raped, you should have the option to not have that child.
Yeah.
And that just like, oh my god, and then I was like, of course he's from fucking Missouri. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter where he's from, it's all terrible. But
there was also that senator or legislator or somebody from Missouri a few years ago who was quoted with the comment about, if it truly is a rape, the female body has ways of shutting that down.
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me? Do you think my vagina grows teeth when it realizes that I'm being raped? Like, not what? I'm gonna pull up what?
Because Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa in Game of Thrones, shared an image of it, of like multiple quotes from, hold on, let me pull her up, Sophie. Oh my gosh. Here we go. Yep. From Missouri too, of course. Awesome. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has a way to shut things down. Shut that thing down.
Oh my god.
Todd Atkins said. And then
I want to flip my desk.
From Texas, rape is kind of like the weather. If it's inevitable, relax and enjoy it. Clayton Williams.
Oh my god.
Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Rape victims should make the best of a bad situation. And then there's like three more really quickly. Indiana, even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, there is something that God intended to happen. Okay. Texas. Okay. Oh, awesome. And a woman named Jody. In the emergency room. Yeah. Oh, there's quite a few that I saw in that CNN article about like, This one lady was like, you know, I know a lot of women are going to be so angry with me right now for saying these things, but this is what God wants. God knows what's happening. And no, God, blah, okay. Blah, blah.
If that's what you believe, cool. Keep it out of my fucking politics.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Jody says in the emergency room, they have what's called rape kits where a woman can get cleaned out. And then last but not least, if a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist's pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death.
Sexual freedom? Oh my god. Okay. All right. I need to take a drink. Just.
Yep. Right. So, it's a... You know, and
fucking horrifying.
I always still, as much as I'm sometimes a pessimist, I always think sometimes, which is not the right thinking, and I need to work on that. We're going to come out the other side of this and it's all going to be okay. And we're going to look back and laugh at this like, what the fuck? But, you know, things like this and how it keeps happening, that's, I'm finally starting to like wake up and see, hold on. No, it's not going to. Because then my thought was too, like, okay, well, as soon as we get Trump out of office, then, you know, we'll get a better president. And they can make all this go away and it'll be fine. No, Tavinia. Like, I'm having this conflict with myself inside, like, you know. But no, once he's gone, it'll be okay. And I'm like, wait, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, it doesn't even matter about him at all. these are issues. And even if it did matter about him and him being in office, what happens for the people for this time being? They can't wait until there's a new president. You know, like, this is affecting now and every moment for somebody. And it just...
And the scary part is that, so all of these states that are banning this, they can't... it's against the Constitution. It's unconstitutional. They can't be doing that. So what's going to happen is it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and then we're going to come back to Roe v. Wade. It could get overturned. Mm-hmm. Like, we are in danger of Roe v. Wade being overturned right now. And part of me, like, when we have our conspiracies episode, who knows where I'll fucking go with that, but part of me thinks, like, is this all just like a big song and dance orchestrated by the government? And then, like, oh, look over here. Oh, look over here. And then, like, suddenly Roe v. Wade is overturned and we're back to where we were. Like, that's so fucking terrifying to me that I have absolutely no control over what happens in my body, regardless of how many steps I'm taking. Because so this, like, the birth control argument, really what they want to say is just don't have sex. That's what they're getting at, because no birth control is 100% effective. So no matter how many steps you're taking, aside from abstinence, no matter how many steps you're taking to protect yourself, there is still a marginal chance that you could fall pregnant. So even though I don't want kids and I'm taking all the right steps to be safe and not get pregnant, there's a small chance that it could still happen, and I would have absolutely no choice over what happens to me in that case. And that's terrifying. I retweeted a tweet the other day that I've kind of been thinking for a while. This woman tweeted, all the women who were sobbing on election night knew what was coming. And that's exactly, like, Tavinia and I called each other, like, very, I think I was crying. You, I don't remember if you were crying, but we were both, like, extremely upset. Like, I cried for, like, a day after Trump got elected. And I know that people at the time thought I was being dramatic, but this is exactly why. Because all of my choices are being taken away. And then this is a slippery slope. If we ban abortion, then are we going to start banning birth control? Like, where do we draw the line? Where do we stop?
Yeah, I just remember feeling very numb the day after. And, like, because I think I actually went to bed before he went, because I just couldn't watch. I think before I went to sleep, I think Hillary was in the lead. And I just went to bed. And I was like, my heart can't handle this. I'm just going to go to sleep. And when we wake up tomorrow, we're going to know immediately. And I first woke up to a text from when this happened, I was in grad school getting my master's. And, I woke up to a text from one of my peers, I guess. What do you call them when you're in grad school together? Not coworker. I'm going to say peers, sure. Yeah. Just saying, we didn't talk very much, but we, like, you know, kind of talked in passing because it wasn't a big program. Just saying, I love you, friend. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And just, like, knowing then, woof. And then just, so the school I went to is called Texas Women's University. And so it was predominantly, it wasn't just women, but it was predominantly women on campus. And it was just like, we were a bunch of zombies just kind of walking around trying to exist for the day.
Yep.
And like, what happens now? Just being terrified and just.
Yep. And so this is the thing. I mean, I know that this is supposed to be a sex education episode, and we will eventually get to that, but oh, shit, that was a good thought and it's gone.
See, that's what was happening. It was going to be fumbling like an idiot.
Yeah. It was something about Republicans versus Dem. Oh, okay. Like when Trump got elected and all of us who were a little more left leaning or Democrats or however you want to classify yourself on the left side of the spectrum, were very upset about it. All the conservatives and Republicans were like, whoa, how come it's okay? Like, you know, you guys told us that we were being racist when we were upset when Obama got elected, blah, blah, blah. Right. That's because, one, you were just being fucking racist about it. Two, your literal life was not in danger when Obama was elected. Did you disagree with his policies and, like, you don't like what he's doing? Yeah, cool. But you were never in, like, real danger. When Trump got elected, especially women, and I'm sure people of color, I don't know what that feels like. I can only imagine that it's fucking horrible. We were literally, like, and still are, literally scared for our lives and, like, scared for our rights and our privileges that are disappearing, which should not be privileges, they should be rights. But that's the difference, is that we're not just one. Yes, he's a fucking horrible person. I'm not going to argue with you there. Yeah, I think he's a shitbag, but we're watching families get split up and be deported, and we're watching our rights being taken away, and we're watching people gunned down in the streets, and just like, that's what we were seeing when we saw Trump get elected, not just that we disagree with his policies. It goes so far beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have more things to add, or should we actually try to discuss sex education? Because I think it ties into this, because I think a lack of sex education is a big part of how we get to things like this. Mm-hmm. Because I think back to like...
abstinence first thinking is just...
Yes. So detrimental.
So dumb.
Because I think back to the fucking... I don't even know what to call it, dumpster fire of a sex education that I received. So I went to a Catholic grade school, K-8. And like the sex education that we received was laughable. I mean, I don't even remember ever seeing pictures of like the reproductive systems. Not even like, not straight up pictures, not even diagrams, like nothing. I don't remember seeing anything. I remember like sitting in fifth grade, our teacher, they separated us out, boys and girls, and the girls learned about periods, and I guess boys learned about penises, I don't know. And then they brought us back together, and that was literally it. That was it. We didn't talk about the fact that if you put a penis in a vagina and like there's ejaculation, that can create a baby and like all that stuff. Like we literally did not learn that at all. The only time I remember learning, and thank God I was like a very curious kid, teenager, whatever, so I was doing my own research, and I know that you're probably all gonna be like, oh yeah, she was watching porn. No, I was literally like, if you know me well enough, you know I was doing literal research. And then the next sex education that I remember was like in high school, and even that, I went to a public school for high school, but it could have been better. Like, it wasn't the most comprehensive. Like, I don't really remember talking about abortion as like an option, like that it was a choice. Like, it was just sort of like, oh, you use condoms and that was it. Because I don't know what your experience was. Because you were kind of all over the place as a kid.
Yeah. And so I was trying to think back through that of like when I actually, like, it started to stick and like when it first started teaching it to us. Because, yeah, I moved around a lot because both my parents were, well, my mom at that time was in the Army still. And so we had to move around often. And the biggest one that keeps coming back to me was in Texas in high school. Mostly just showing us, they seem to focus heavily on STDs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will never get out of my head the image of elephantitis of the nuts. That is always in my mind now. And they actually didn't.
Dumb question, maybe a reflection of my sex education. I thought elephantitis was not an STD, but just like a genetic disorder.
I thought it was something that could progress. I just remember the picture. Something that could progress over time from like an untreated.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
No, I'm going to look it up now.
Because I thought that like, oh God.
I don't want to see the pictures. Oh my God. I hope they don't show me the pictures.
Did you literally Google elephantitis of the nuts or just elephantitis?
Elephantitis.
Because I think like some people like get it in their legs and stuff.
Then why would they show me that?
I don't know.
During sex education.
I don't know. Because you're in Texas and they're just trying to scare you from having sex at all?
Yeah. Well, it worked for a while. And then I got over it. Yeah, right. Oh, no. Here it is. Genital elephantitis can also be caused by bacterial sexually transmitted diseases. Mm. Specifically, okay. Oh God, I can't pronounce that, but it's LGV and Donovanosis.
Hmm.
So that's, so it could be the bacterium that results in LGV, chlamydia, Trico, something. So yeah, it can come from sexually transmitted diseases. That's why. Okay. Okay. I was like, why the fuck would they do that thing?
See, look, this is why sex education matters.
I'm just a kid.
27 years old, I didn't know.
God, yeah. So I remember them doing, and they had us all together. Like, it was just, we kind of just all filed in into the library. They had like I think his name was called like, he was Dr. Man. Like, his name was literally Dr. Man.
I'm picturing Mean Girls.
Well, you know, kind of. But we were in the library, and they just had, like, a bunch of chairs, and he had a little projector, and yeah, yeah. So it'd be funny. Actually, it'd be a funny meme now. How many of you feel personally affected by elephantitis of the nuts images? I raise my hand, like everybody else. No, so yeah, I remember that being it. But I think, Other than that, and I don't think they did. I do remember them always saying often, like, you know, okay, but just abstain, just abstain, just abstain. A lot of my sex education came from my parents, honestly, which is probably for the best and worst. And my dad told me pretty early on what sex was. Because, you know, like most kids, when they're like, mommy, daddy, where do babies come from? And they like make up some bullshit. No, he told me the exact where, what happens, how it happens. I didn't understand the words, obviously. I'm like, okay. And so like he was always very upfront about that. And so I kind of just avoided them for a while because I knew if I asked, I would get the actual answer. And I just, my, you know, I was in that period like, ew, parents, icky, saying the word penis. And I remember once, I think I started getting to the, like, an older, I just had my period and my mom wanted to have that conversation again. And, you know, she's like, you know, we can always talk about anything and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, she's like, do you have any questions? And I remember asking her, I was like, so, yeah, does it just slither in? She said,
oh God.
She said, what? And I said, does the penis just like slither into the woman? And she said, she tried so hard not to laugh because I was like, you know, I was a very like fragile moment for me. Or like,
you're genuinely concerned.
And I'm just like, I just don't understand how it works. And so she was like, no, that, and she's like kind of trying to laugh. And she's like, no, either the man or the woman will put it in, you know, and like, put it's it in there.
Well, usually.
Yeah.
Intentional.
Yeah. And that just like rocked my mind was just boom. Like, whoa, they do that? Like, that never once crossed my mind that they could just pick it up and put it in there. Or like, you know, whatever. Yeah. I was just like, it obviously has to slither in there like a snake. And so it was just a very eye-opening moment for me. But yeah, most of my sex education came from my parents, which sometimes they just shared too. Well, I think honestly it's better to share too much than too little, but given the age, we should reflect on that part. But yeah, I feel like you maybe shouldn't start telling your 3-year-old about, you know, and I'm not critiquing anyone's parenting at all, but I know there's some parents that they don't call it like a little, like the cat or like a little box, or like, you know, like little cutesy names for it. Like they give them the actual names for these things. So like penis, vagina, things like that. And once again, I'm not critiquing anyone's parenting. You do what you want. But I just feel like that does start off on the right foot of them already knowing the correct names for these things and then kind of just building from there. Because why even like, if a little kid approaches me at some point and says the word penis, it might throw me off for a second. But, you know, it's just nice that they already are moving in that direction of saying what it is. So,
yeah.
What?
Dude, it's like fucking Harry Potter. Fear of the name only increases fear of the thing itself. This is why we like to say Voldemort's name out loud so that we're not all scared of him.
There you go.
It's okay to say penis.
Yeah.
It's okay to say it. It's not a cuss word.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was primarily my sex education, actually. I remember, God, people started doing it in the elementary.
Shit, dude, if people were having sex that young at our school, I genuinely had no idea. Like, the first time I remember any of my, like, friends or anybody talking about, like, having sex was freshman year of high school. Which, I mean, you're still a fucking child, but.
Yeah. No, I think, like, well, I don't remember if they were actually having sex, but I remember, which now I think about that time frame. When did that video come out? Because it would make so much sense. I think it was when the whole R. Kelly thing resurfaced again a little bit. That first happened in 1990, I think, 3 or 4. So not at that time, but I was a little bit older. But I remember I was in school and like this girl and boy, like, you know, like dating, which is not real. And they went into the bathroom and she like peed in his mouth.
Okay.
In elementary.
If you're into that, I guess.
And like,
I'm gonna kink shame, but like
that was like
maybe a little young.
I just remember thinking like, what the fuck? But now I remember it's because it was also kind of during the time that video resurfaced back up about him. So they thought it was like the thing you had to, you know.
They're like, this is what we do, right?
Yeah. And so
that's what I thought happened in sex because they didn't give us a proper sex education at our Catholic school. We were all just out on the playground like talking about it. And for some reason, we all came to the conclusion that sex happens when a man pees in a woman, because they hadn't told us, like, we had no idea, and it seemed not that far off. Mm. So
no, yeah, I definitely thought it was like a robot type thing where just like like switched over from piss to steam, you know, like and just changing gears now. I don't know.
Which actually, that's it's not wrong. You're not that far off.
Yeah, but it's not a robot.
No, it's not. There's not a switch.
We don't know.
Really quick before we stray too far from it, this whole concept of like teaching kids proper names for body parts. If I ever do have children, or I mean, I don't think I would probably. It's always a fine line between. I mentioned before how close I am to my nephews and my niece, and I never know how much of like this kind of stuff I'm allowed to talk about with them because I'm not their parent. So like, it's not my place, but like if they were to ask me, I don't know. Anyway. So if I ever were to have children, I would one teach them proper names for things because I see no reason not to. And I think it contributes to a very sex positive and body positive environment. But two, sort of on that same token, is teaching kids that you don't have to be ashamed of it either. So like, I remember seeing this post on Facebook once, in one of my Facebook groups, and it was a mom and they were all talking about this whole same thing of teaching kids proper names. And that a big part of that conversation comes into like, let's say you're sitting at the dinner table eating dinner and your son reaches his hand in his pants and is like playing with his penis. You don't tell him, no, we don't play with our penis. Like, take your hand out of your pants. You tell him, we don't play with our penis at the dinner table. Like, that's something that you do in the bathroom or like behind closed doors in your bedroom or like whatever. Like, I'm not going to shame you for doing that, but just teach them that like we don't do that in public places. That's like a private thing between just yourself or between you and someone else or like a partner. So I think that goes a very long way too. And I think a big part of this is those of us that received poor sex education as children are now embarrassed to talk about it as adults. So of course that just trickles down to our kids, because if you're embarrassed to talk about it, you're not going to come right out and talk to your 10-year-old about it.
Yeah. Which, and I think, actually, I think I'm going to start doing this from now on. You know how you give a song once a week or every whatever? I think I'm going to give a show or a movie because I like doing those.
Yeah.
So I'm 26 now, and this show came out, I think, like a year ago because it already had season 2 come out. And it's called Big Mouth, and it's on Netflix. And it's from the perspective of, it's like a, it's animated, but it's not for children. Well, actually, no, it should be for children with there's a lot of profanity. But anyways, it's through the perspective of these kids who are in, I think they're in middle school, and like their bodies are changing and stuff like that. Actually, it's like the theme song is like, I'm going through changes. It's like a pretty good song. And things are happening to them, and they have these hormone monsters, which they look like actual monsters. And each one of them gets one. And so, like, this guy, he has, like, a hormone monster that's just, like, the... Well, I can't say, I'm not a man, so I don't know what I can't speak for. But what I would assume is, like, the thoughts when your body starts, like, doing this. Like, when he got his first boner or whatever, and he's like, hell yeah, let's fuck everything. And so, like, it's just really funny. And then the girl got her hormone monster when she got her period. And, like one minute, like minute, and actually her hormone monster is voiced by Maya Rudolph. And so it's just fucking hilarious. The show is so funny. But I learned so much in that show that I ideally should know by now, but I'm watching and I'm like, oh, is that what that is? Or like blah, blah. So it's so educational, but it's also just like hilarious. And like, it's when the girl gets her period, her hormone monster shows up, her mom comes in, she's like, you know, honey, like I know you got your period for the first time. And her hormone monster's like, get her. And she turns around and she's like, get the fuck out, Sharon. I'm like, and then she starts crying. And I'm like, oh my god, yes, that's exact, like, ugh. So it's a very, very good show. I told my boss about it actually, and I was like, you know, I will say there's a lot of profanity in it, so if you're not cool with your kid being around that, I get it. But I wish a show like this was introduced to me.
Oh my god,
because I learned so much.
My phone just started playing Bootylicious.
It's a good song.
It was in my pocket. I did not have my hand on my phone. What the fuck?
It knows what's up.
Okay, that was really weird. Continue. Sorry. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, so it's just like a really good... It's one, I think it's just fucking hilarious. But, and it's voiced by a lot of pretty famous characters. The main character guy... Or one of the main character guys. He's the voice... His voice is... I can't think of that dude's name. But the one from the show Scrubs...
Yeah, with like the frog mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
I can't think of his actual name. Yeah, thank you. But yeah, just
to feel like actor frog mouth will return something.
Well, I have big mouth pulled up right now. I could just pull up the.
Oh, or that. Oh, turns out there's an owl or a bird called the tawny frog mouth.
Interesting.
Who knew?
But yeah, it's pretty hilarious, and just watching them go through and like, yeah, it's just, it's really good. So it's something I would definitely recommend watching. But what were you saying before that though?
Well, one more story about my nephews. Once upon a time, I was babysitting my three nephews and we were sitting at the dinner table. So it's just me and the three of them. And the middle nephew was like, we're just all sitting there. I think I was playing Michael Jackson on my phone. And I still remember we were eating chili and he's like smacking a little. And so I was kind of looking at him because I was like, can you fucking not? And he's like, hey, Maggie, where'd babies come from? And I was like, oh, God. Why don't you ask your dad when he gets home? And he was like, okay. And like, that was like a satisfactory answer. And I don't know if he actually did ask my brother-in-law when he got home, but Aunt Maggie was not about to tackle that beast. No, thank you.
My niece, who's about to graduate this weekend, she's my firstborn of nieces and nephews. I'm going to keep calling her my firstborn, though. when she was younger, that show Modern Family had just come out. And we were watching it or whatever, and they said something about like, oh, Father's Day is coming up, blah, blah, blah. What's happening for you dads? And I was sitting there, and so was my sister, and sister-in-law, but sister. And she was like, two dads. And I saw it going through her mind of like, what does that mean? And I said, oh no, time for me to go. Here just comes, because, yeah. like you're saying with the parenting and what can I say? What do you want me to say? I'm more than happy to talk to you about it, but it's not my kid. And so I can't force the time of when those things are going to happen and when I can say those certain things. And I have to, I definitely asked, but that was not the time to ask like, hey, can I go ahead and, jump in here? Mm-hmm. And then also because my opinion, I'm not that I'm saying my brother and sister-in-law are against it, but like, I'm going to be way more chillax talking about it. And I feel like they might only want me to say so much about it. So it's just, which that's also a part of sex education actually, is just not necessarily penetration, also talking about the different forms of what it can look like, that needs to definitely be educated in schools. But to do that, we first need to identify the fact that there's more than just man and woman. So
yeah, I was literally just typing out notes about what comprehensive sex education... Oh my God, that like was not going to come out right. What comprehensive sex education in schools should look like. And in my opinion, it would cover all types of birth control options beyond... Like, we probably do need to just tell them about the pull and pray method, but like maybe let's not rely on that. Mm. Or like natural family plan... Oh my God, natural family planning. Like that works for some people, I guess, but... probably not something that high schoolers should be relying on. So then let's tell them about condoms. Let's tell them about IUDs. Let's tell them about what's the thing you called the diaphragm?
Oh, yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. Let's tell them about abortion and what it is and like how you can access that if you need it. Plan B, how you get to that. Let's talk about...
Can you?
LGBTQ. Oh, well, I'm probably fucking not. Let's talk about LGBTQ issues and like how sex relates to them and like what that might look like for some people. Like, I feel like creating a sex positive environment will go such a long way just in general. But also, I think that's a big part of why like sexual assault is such an issue in our culture, is just because we make it out to be this like, excuse how like, disgusting this sounds, women are cum dumpsters. That's basically what we're teaching people. That's what we're teaching kids at this point. And so of course when that mentality is in a 16-year-old kid's mind and his hormones are raging, like what do we think is gonna happen? I mean some people are just really shitty, and I'm not trying to dismiss how serious of an issue that is and that they're just, you're doing life wrong, but I don't know, I just think sex positivity and comprehensive sex education will go a very long way. And what's the harm in trying it? Like, if we try it and nothing changes, well, I guess we're smarter now.
That's also this. What is the parents' fear, especially when by the time they're in high school? What is the fear of them knowing all of these things?
Yeah, I don't know. I get it that you don't want little Timmy. You know, you're a baby.
Yeah,
your only child. You don't want him to be having sex, but he's either going to have sex and not tell you, or he's going to have sex and be open about it and be safe. So, which one? Pick one.
And just like me primarily like focusing on high school. They're about to graduate. What happens after they graduate? They're not with you anymore, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then what? Like, what do you think is going to happen then? And the whole idea of like, well, I don't want to teach them these things because then they'll start doing it. They're probably already doing it.
Yeah, they're definitely already doing it. I hate to break it to you.
And so that doesn't do anything. And also, if we teach them about LGBTQIA type stuff, here's the thing, Sharon. It doesn't turn them.
Always Sharon.
It doesn't turn them gay.
No.
And just to talk about it, and even if it did, that's something you need to get over. But like, it doesn't turn anyone. You're born that way. So it's not like just having the conversation is going to be like, oh God, now he might turn gay. Like just in freaking out. It just, oh my gosh. So many stupid things. If anything, if he actually realizes like, oh, this makes sense. It's something I identify with. And this is what you're doing him a service because now he gets to figure out who he actually is, which most of us don't get to do. So, and so many end up dying before they get to figure out who they actually are and what.
Yep. Yeah. Disproportionately high suicide rates among the LGBTQ community because they're so often just swept under the rug. Even in conversations where people are trying to like do their best, they're just marginalized.
Which also takes me back to abortion, kind of. Just because you make it illegal doesn't mean it's going to stop happening.
Yeah.
It's just going to be way more detrimental.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen very terribly and unsafe.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an article this morning. It was a Cosmo article, so I don't know how much stock I'm going to put into it. But they were talking to two gynecologists who have, like, some of the only gynecologists in the country who were practicing at the time that Roe v. Wade happened, like, before Roe v. Wade, when Roe v. Wade happened in the 70s, and then, like, are still practicing now. And their perspective was, like, horrifying because they were saying that and I did not know this, that hospitals used to have entire wards that were dedicated to women who were coming in, and like they couldn't come right out and say that they'd been trying to have an abortion. But I guess one of the most popular sort of like quote unquote back alley techniques was inserting something into the uterus, which then causes an infection, which causes you to abort. So a lot of times women would come in with like literally just rubber catheters, like the same catheters that they still use today, but they would have them inserted into their uterus. Mm-hmm. So that they would have an abortion, then they'd have complications from that and they'd have to come into the hospital. And one of the doctors was even saying that there was a 20-bed ward for all of these problems. And then there were also two private rooms that were literally solely dedicated to women who were dying from complications from their illegal abortions. And like those rooms were so that their families could come and they could like die in peace. And that when Roe v. Wade happened, those rooms completely emptied out and like they turned those wards into other things because they didn't need them anymore. So if you think that it's just going to stop happening because it's illegal, that's so wrong because it's going to keep happening, but it's going to be so dangerous.
Hmm. Which then leads to the idea of it just reconfirms you don't care about women.
Yep.
At all.
Oh, sorry. Once again, as in every episode, I'm looking at my little waves and I have a lot of sound waves. I've been talking a lot. Another thing I saw that was one of the legislators or senators or some crusty old white man had said something about that the abortion law doesn't apply to, like, I'm not entirely sure how IVF works. Isn't IVF where they like do the sperm and the egg thing outside, like in a lab and somewhere, stick it and then in. Like, yeah. They were saying that this 6-week thing doesn't apply to IVF because it's not inside a woman. So you literally just confirmed that your only issue is because it's women. You're just trying to hold women down.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, I'm done making mouth sounds. You make mouth sounds now.
Mouth sound. I feel like we should actually, going back to elephantitis in the nuts, back to like STDs or STIs. So the STIs now, right?
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes I call it an STI and people like,
what's that?
Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So,
which I always like still, I know they exist and I know they can be terrible and it can happen to anybody, but Maggie and I are actually just having this conversation. We have it actually many times, but we were having it just yesterday, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I always forget that you can get diseases through oral, and so that just never crosses my mind. And so I'm always just kind of like, eh.
On either end, like penis in mouth or mouth on vagina.
Yeah.
You can catch stuff.
And I'm just kind of like, eh, if they look clean, I bet they're clean. And that's kind of my mentality of, eh, no, I bet it's all good. So
just give a little once over before it goes in the old face hole and it'll be fine.
Yep. But then, like, yeah, she was expressing concern because, you know, she obviously likes to have her. I feel like these people are trying to come over here. Oh, nope, they went inside. Obviously, which is the smart way to do it. Like, you know, like for the partners to be tested and stuff like that and knowing what, you know, before engaging in anything. And I'm always just, so we were having this conversation about a partner of hers and she's like, you know, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Are you okay with me saying the story, I guess?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. She's like, you know, I don't know if he has. And then when she found out he hasn't, she's like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. You know, should I still, whatever, whatever. Sex is bomb, I don't know. And I'm like, well, does he look clean?
Literally, direct quote. Does it look clean? Like, oh my
God. And yeah, that's always my logic. And then she's like, you know, well, I don't want to get genital herpes. And I'm like, well, technically everyone has some form of herpes in a way, if it's cold sore and stuff like that. As I'm saying this, there's like a guy walking past me because I'm in a, like a hardware store. And yeah, it's just, and it's terrible thinking, and I should probably stop doing that. But I'm always just like, if they look clean. Well, then, because then he had been with a previous partner not too long ago, I guess. And I was like, well, does she look clean? Or does she look trashy?
Yeah, like, we're just like going down the line.
Yeah. That's all that, like, let's just keep, that's what we need to just look at.
So Tavinia is rather nonchalant about STIs. They scare the shit out of me. And I don't really know why, because I feel like a lot of people's, well, one, it's just like kind of a, I don't want to call it gross because I would like to remove the taboo around STIs because it's like, it happens. People get them all the time. They're usually regular, usually like fairly treatable. It's not a big deal. But they just, it really fucking freaks me out. And most people's reasoning is like, well, it can cause infertility. Well, I don't want kids, so like, that's fine. But anyway, Tavinia is rather nonchalant about it. I am terrified of them. And so I get tested like regularly, like every 3 months or like in between partners or whatever. And so, yeah, it's, you should do that. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there now. You should be getting tested regularly, at least once a year at your like yearly checkup. Depending on how many partners you have, maybe once every 6 months, maybe once every 3 months, maybe it's literally between every partner, you know, whatever. It's much better to be safe than sorry in this scenario.
Yeah, if you're already getting like a pap or something for, you know, looking to see if anything terrible could be happening down there also, you might as well just let them go ahead and swab too for.
Yeah. And I will say it's not fun because when I get it done, I do like the whole nine yards. They do the swab, they take blood, they pee, they usually like wipe the inside of my mouth, like all that stuff. So like, it's not a fun process because nobody likes, well, one, a doctor being all up in your vagina every 3 months is not the most fun thing in the world. And like getting blood drawn is not the most fun thing, but it's really worth it. You should really be doing that. And it's a pretty low cost, if not free thing at a lot of places. Like I think, doesn't Planned Parenthood do it for free?
Do they exist anymore?
Well, that's true.
How many?
If you can find a Planned Parenthood, I think they do it for free. A lot of towns have like free clinics or like your health department might do it for free. Just check around.
That's why this is so terrifying. Because there's only, well, this article is done in 2017, so I need a more updated one. But this says there's only about 650 Planned Parenthoods.
That's so scary. I'm Googling it to see if there's even any here in Denver. Oh, there's three. There's three in Denver. my God. Oh, there's way more than three. Well, that's exciting. Okay, so there's three, like, in the Denver area, and then four in the surrounding metro areas. Mm. But that checks out, because Colorado is a fairly progressive state. I think Planned Parenthood is the one thing. I currently don't have enough. Well, I'm sponsoring. I'm sponsoring that kid in Mexico, but I don't entirely have enough money left at the end of each month to be, like, donating to something. But when I reach that point, Planned Parenthood is going to be who I donate to monthly. Because they, we need that.
Yeah.
They're not doing bad things.
Nope. No. Yeah, no. They do more good than bad.
Yeah.
I think wasn't there something that came out about, like, something of their administration or something like that? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. That wasn't so
doctors.
Great.
Doctors.
Yes.
Yeah.
But overall, they do more good than bad.
Yep.
Which is what we want in any human being.
Yep. And like, if we're going to dismiss Planned Parenthood for that, let's just dismiss the whole fucking police force. If that's the mentality we're using, one bad one spoils the whole bunch. Well, looks like we're all fucked. Mm. Okay. Any closing thoughts before we do our questions?
No.
Okay.
Oh, should we talk about slut shaming or no? No.
We only have 4 minutes left.
No, there's not enough time.
Okay. I'm sure we'll talk about this in another episode.
Okay.
Maybe just like sex positivity or something.
You can go with women's rights.
Yeah. What was the hardest part for you to get real with?
That as of 2017, there's only 650 Planned Parenthoods. That's depressing as fuck. I think just...
That's only 13 Planned Parenthoods on average per state. Mm. That's really sad.
States are very big.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that... Well, one, like I was saying before, I have to open up my eyes and or kind of just like take the blinders off of... These have to be fixed now, and I have to be involved, and I need to stay up to date. Like, I usually just kind of, like, tap back in right around election time, like, maybe, like, a month or two or three months before election time, like, kind of, you know, educate myself up and, like, buff up on it or whatever. But, no, this is my life. It affects my life. It affects my everything. And even though it is super fucking depressing, I have to remain engaged with it. Because each day something is happening, and it's not going to just wait until, oh, Tiffany is looking now, let's do all the things. So I think that's the hardest part for me.
Yeah. I think the hardest part for me is that it is 2019. I'm 27 years old. I am a grown ass woman by all intents and purposes, and I'm still being told what I can and can't do with my body. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
What was the easiest part?
How easily I can recall elephantitis of the nuts. Every time. Sometimes I wake up at night thinking about it. That's fair. No, probably. We don't really talk about it, but easiest part is knowing that even though I suck at it right now and I have to get better about it. Cause like today they had a protest here in Columbia. And this guy I've been talking to, he went to it and, but then it started getting rained out. And so they kind of shut it down, but, it's easiest and nicest to know that there's people out there who are constantly fighting against this. And like, obviously they need more cause it's, you know, better and that will usually effect happens in numbers, but even sometimes with the numbers, it just doesn't. But it's just nice. It's nice to know and that there's people out there still constantly fighting the good fight and trying to make things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was partly going to be mine, was like, it doesn't feel like I'm alone. Like, I feel like I'm standing in solidarity with a lot of people. I actually posted in my local Girls Love Travel chapter yesterday and was like, does anybody know of any protests or marches or anything picketing happening this weekend? And like, I couldn't find anything, and I've been Googling all day and I don't think anything happened here in Denver, which is kind of sad because I actually have like free time and wanted to get to one of those because I've never been to like a women's march.
It might be happening later. I know, like, Jeff City is having theirs next month, so.
Okay.
I don't know why it's planned out so far. Yeah, I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah. So the easiest part for me, I posted on my Instagram story. It was just a picture, and it just said over and over and over again, men should not be making decisions about women's bodies. And just like, it was probably like 30 times written in a row. And I posted it on my Instagram story. My 13-year-old nephew responded with like the clapping hands emoji. And I was like, I've never been so proud. Oh my God. And then he put on his story, which I think his mother would probably kill him if she knew this. Well, no, she wouldn't though. She's pretty progressive. He put on his story a little picture that said women's bodies are being policed more than guns. Ooh. And I was like, yes, yes, little man, you get it. And maybe he's just like trying to go along with his peers and be cool. That's fine. Like, he and I can have a conversation about it, and I can help educate a little bit if my sister is okay with that. But that makes me feel really good that a 13-year-old boy like is starting to get it and is starting to understand.
So, I'm sorry, just quickly. Right now I have my background and my phone, well, not the lock screen, but like when you unlock it, it's like a man doing a petty little thing, like a, and it's my favorite thing because it's like mood. But I have this picture that I'm going to change it to that I screenshotted a long time ago. And it's like this little girl in like a long trench coat type thing, like this tan. And she says, like, she has to be about 7, and she's a cute little black girl. And she says, today we're learning about Wall Street. And she goes up to this little man with her microphone, and it's like a balding old white man with like a also a tan trench coat on too. And she says, when the revolution comes, where will you hide?
Oh,
it's my favorite fucking thing because it starts off all sweet and cute, and she's like, yeah, boom. And so I feel like that's kind of where we're sitting at right now.
Damn. Yep. What changed you, or what realizations did you have?
Oh fuck, I forgot about that question. I'm not even looking at the microphone. That doesn't help anything. Do you have one? Can you go first?
I actually don't think I have anything to put in this section because I made my thoughts very clear, and I haven't had any like great realizations about this because this should be a basic fucking right. So it's not like there's much to realize. I did realize that elephantitis is an STD, I guess.
There was something that someone, I think it was in one of my, like, either my murder group or my crafting group.
Makes it sound like it's a group of murderers.
I mean.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah, either my murder group or my crafting group, they shared something that said, you know, it's crazy when we've gotten to the point. No, I told a writer friend that it's sad that all their dystopian novel ideas are being actually created in real life by Republicans.
Mm-hmm. We're Handmaid's Tale right now.
Which I was thinking about that, which I have not actually seen, but I get the gist of what it's about. Or I haven't read it either. But I picked up enough about it to know what it's about. I was like, yeah, we're probably living in that time. And yeah, it's just like, you think about these books and stuff that you read about. That's like I think about Lord of the Flies all the time, about like an island of children, you know, and left alone. And when they are left alone with no adults or anything like that, they start to kill each other off. And just like, I think about those kind of books. And then just like the, I have another one that I really enjoy. I can't remember. And just how much we are becoming that now.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't just some far off ideas that like, you know, ooh, you know, like this is reality. And so it's almost like, are we basing our lives off these books, or are these books just a picture into our future? And like these authors knew what we're heading towards, or did they actually just make these up as being fictional? They didn't know that at all, that we would be, you know, coming to this, to like, oh shit, no, this was just a book, please don't live it out, you know, like,
yep, this wasn't supposed to be a guideline.
Exactly. So just like the Bible. So yeah, I don't
hot take.
I don't know if that means it really changed me, but just like a realization, I guess. That's a realization I had, is that yeah, we pretty much are living out dystopian novels.
Yep. terrifying. Where? I'm trying to find that quote that's like, first they came for... Ah, yes. It's this quote. And it says, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Hmm.
I feel like that's what's happening, but that's also probably not that scary to a crusty middle-aged white man, because mm-hmm. that's what they want, is to no be the last one standing. For you. So, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, we're all coming for you, but...
Yeah, we're trying. It's not going so well. Well, let's talk about what brought us joy, because my God, I'm sad. What brought you joy this week?
By the time we post this, it'll be public knowledge, and I don't think anyone from my job listens to it. Although, when I look at the numbers, there's a high percentage of people in Colombia listening to this. I'm like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Are they, like, for sure in Colombia, or are they just in central Missouri?
Is this Colombia?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it might be some of my friends down in Jeff City, but if it's Colombia, nope.
Maybe like it picks up close enough. I don't know. Let's look more quickly. But I don't have to look right now. I got a promotion, and so
she bougie.
It was like it's pretty cool actually, and exciting, and it won't take effect until June 1st. But I sound not excited about this just because I have a lot of personal life things going on at the same time that I'm trying to figure out. That's stressing me out, but. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm gonna
super exciting.
Hang around here for a while and see where this shit takes
get
me.
Get rich.
Not really.
LOL, we work for the state.
Really. Yeah. That's the other thing. That's like, so what brought me joy, what pissed me off is that they put this like scale of what you could make. And apparently, like I didn't want to ask about it right away, so I waited until they offered it to me. And then I was like, so, because she told me how much it was. I was like, so that scale that was, I was like, you know, do I ever get to work up to that? Like, you know, was it promotions over like time of years or whatever, or based off of performance, whatever. And she said, yeah, that scale is like really outdated. And it was something that it would never have been offered to anyone ever anyways. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
All right.
Cool. I was thinking like at some point I could be making that, you know, like, oh, that'd be awesome. Nope.
Unattainable.
Nope. So
that's only for the governor.
Yeah. Who's gonna sign away for the abortion law? But
cool.
I
love my life.
Yeah, now I feel, and that's the other thing, the governor is giving a tiny raise to everybody that works for the state, and I'm like, keep your blood money. But yeah, I don't know. So brought me joy is that I got promoted. And you know what? My thinking is that you have to go further and further into the belly of the beast to actually kill the thing. So we'll see.
Explode it from the inside out.
Yep.
Explode the patriarchy, not just smash it.
Boom.
Blow it up from the inside. What brought me joy? It's a pretty uneventful week. It's just been kind of busy. I've been hanging out with a new Tinder boy. He's pretty cool. Super funny. So he's been fun to hang out with. And the Thursday, so we only have one game left of our kickball. Actually, by the time this airs, we'll be done with kickball. But I only have one game left. And so on Thursday at the kickball, then for once, like almost all of the team went to the bar afterwards because we have a league bar that we can go to and we get drink specials. And there's usually like 3 or 4 of us that go. I consistently go to the bar every week because of who I am as a person. But not all the team can make it all the time. So almost the whole team made it. And it was so fun. We were all just sitting around talking. And we're all going out tonight to like turn up. One of them was like, all right, do we want this to be like a low-key thing or like ratchet? And I was like, ratchet, obviously. God. So we're all going out tonight. So we'll see how that is. I think it's going to be really fun. So that's exciting. I had a lot of fun with them this week. And my song, DJ Khaled and Cardi B and 21 Savage put out a new song this week called Wish Wish. I really like it. It makes me want to like take my shirt off.
Just you saying that makes me just think of drip, drip, came through dripping.
Drip, drip.
I looked it up because, yeah, I had to. And it's Columbia is in fourth, like fourth of the top cities. And like Jeff City's on here, but it's so it's separated out.
Realistically, I don't think my friends from home listen to the podcast. Oh. As much as I wish they did, I don't think they do.
I need to know who in Columbia is listening.
Do you think people, like,
tell me?
Do people hear this, like, hear us saying, like, who's in New York? And it's all the New York people that are like, oh, like,
and just giggling to themselves,
duck down a little. Yeah.
Please tell us.
Please.
Please. I mostly want to know about the Columbia people. New York, you do you, man. But.
Yeah.
Boy. well, I haven't signed up for it yet, but I plan on it. I'll save it for another day, actually.
Okay.
The end. Oh, and my show. I already said it before, but my show recommendation is Big Mouth on Netflix.
Cool. Okay. That was a heavy one. Maybe we'll come back with something a little lighter next week. Or maybe not. Maybe this is just who we are now. I'm just angry, so.
This is me now. I think of jeans.
This is me.
For his Halloween costumes. This is me now.
You have to love me for who I am.
This is me now. He's like Queen Latifah. When
during her UNITY phase, I think, is he even specifies.
Yes. Yes. God.
Amazing.
Love it.
Okay. Well, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Under his eye.